we're going to be talking about conviction. Now, this is pretty safe, right? So, do we have any LeBron James is the best basketball player of all time people here? Anyone? Are you kidding me? Not one? There's not one LeBron is the best of all time?
I think he's pretty close.
I don't think pretty close. All right, do we have any? Do we have any people? Do we have any Popeyes is better than KFC people? Do we have any KFC better than Popeyes people? Do we have any Black Panther is the greatest Marvel movie of all time?
Push-ups.
No, that's push-ups.
Greatest Marvel
movie. Okay. It's top three.
Wait, it can't be if I didn't see it yet.
Do we have any golf is not a sport people?
Yep.
No calories.
It's not a sport.
It's harder than
all right. Golf is like
do we have any even when I'm wrong, I try to make it seem like I'm right, people. Okay. Okay. All right. So I need someone to stand right here in the middle and convince me that today is Saturday.
What?
Yo, I don't even know what today is. Today is Saturday.
Okay.
It says it right on my cell phone.
That could be a screenshot.
It's right here on the calendar.
That means nothing to me. Alright, but Saturday is kind of like, what if I don't feel like
Saturday is originally the Sabbath day.
Okay. Wow. Explain why that's important.
Because originally Sunday through Friday is the day we're supposed to work, and Saturday is the original day we're supposed to go and worship the Lord.
I feel like I'm working right now. Today's not Saturday.
Let me try. Today is Saturday.
Okay.
What are you doing here if it's not Saturday? Are you lost? You know where you are?
Hotels don't take people on non-Saturday.
No, but you're here. You're here.
I'm here. Uh-huh.
What are you doing here with the Bible reading?
I carry my Bible every day without doing Saturday.
Oh my God.
Men have individual minds, and they decide to be here today in unison because they know what day it is.
Bro, I do that on Fridays.
Oh my God. You're talking about church.
No, we're not here.
So what
on
you're
Friday.
Saying is today is Sunday. Because we're all here together, in unison.
Someone convince me today, Saturday,
man. Go for it.
Come on, Gio. What is your name, sir?
Steven.
Is that your name right there?
Got it. Alright. So, conviction. Conviction is one of those things you talk about a lot, you hear a lot, but it's not actually found as a here's what conviction is in the Bible. There's a lot of stuff like that, though, because the people in the Bible has understood that, you got to do that. You know what the Bible said? There's nothing in the New Testament about getting advice. Like, there's no passage that says Jesus got advice from so-and-so. Well, you know why it's not there? Because they just understood that, if you're not stupid, you're going to get advice. Mm-hmm. We don't need to put it in there. If it's obvious that the wisdom culture is to get advice, Jesus is wise, so he's going to get advice. They don't teach the one time the conviction is mentioned in the New Testament. It's about Paul, and he's talking about, like, hey, when I came, we brought the message with power and great conviction. It's like, cool, well, what does that mean? Conviction is just when you're convinced about something. That's it. When you are convinced about something, that is conveyed. Look at Genesis 39, at an interaction with this guy, Joseph, and his conviction about his personal conduct with his boss's wife. All right, Genesis 39, verse 1. Let's jump down to verse 6. And so Joseph, at this point, Genesis 39, we're going to read from verse 6. Joseph, at this point, had made himself a big deal. He was in charge of a lot of stuff. Potiphar was like the big boss, and poured it for a light, Joseph. I'm going to make you in charge of everything that I'm in charge of. And then you have this sketchy wife of Potiphar that comes in the picture. So then in verse 6, so Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. Okay. All right, that's like most people in this room. We'll take it. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Okay, all right. So don't be well built and handsome. He's got bad repercussions apparently. But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife." Do you think they had that conversation? Like, bro, everything in here. Oh,
that's 10.
Okay.
Brent.
We'll do that after the lesson.
Brent got 10.
Do you think that was a conversation? Like, all right, Joseph, come sit down. I'm putting you in charge of everything, just not my wife. They never had that conversation. It was just understood that, bro, I'm not gonna mess around with your wife. I'm convinced that is inappropriate behavior. So. So he says, because you are his wife, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw this, when she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house, she called her servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us here to make sport of us. He came in to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." So this girl is trifling. This girl is clearly problems. But think about Joseph's position here. Joseph can very, very well justify, like, you know what? I am in charge of everything, and you're my boss's wife, so you're kind of sort of like my boss. It's just obedience then at that point, if I do go to bed with you. You know, I think you have a point here. And then he gives in, but he was convinced. He was, I'm not going to do that. Guys, I think this conversation of conviction is something that I didn't realize how important it was until I was putting this lesson together. That I get it, but this is what everything comes down to. This was a Kyle's kind of closing point. Like, who are you for real when no one else is there? You know? Like, let me say, if you are deleting history on your computer or switching to private mode on an iPhone, what you're communicating there is that there's a version of yourself that you want to keep hidden. I don't want this to be made known about who I am, because you're not. I'm gonna skip the entire middle part and get right to the point. If you are convinced that a little bit of porn is okay, you're gonna watch a little bit of porn. That's it, right? Because the only reason that we repeat these cycles of things is you convince yourself that it's cool. That, you know what? I've been good for like 4 months. I'm like, this is the longest streak. I deserve a little bit of a reward, a break to kind of do me for a little bit. I'm going to watch just a little bit of porn today. Because you've convinced yourself that that's okay. When we convince ourselves about something, we behave that way. Listen, today is clearly Saturday. If I were to actually genuinely walk around and living like today is not Saturday, you're all in the jurisdiction to say, bro, dude, you're just wrong. That's just like, that's not the case. So I have to rewire my conviction to match the fact that, well, today is in fact Saturday. Have you convinced yourself that a little bit of lying is okay? Just like a little bit, you know. I'm not going to go out and say I'm a whole different person, but if it helps save my reputation, I'll lie just a little bit. You do that because you've convinced yourself that that's fine. But what about flirting? Like, I'm not trying to get into bed with this girl, but if I can make her like, I like how it feels to know that someone is looking at me, So I'm gonna flirt a little. You convince yourself that a little bit of flirtiness is fine. Guys, we have to rewire our conviction, because whatever you're convinced of is how you will conduct yourself. That's it. That's at the end of the day, Joseph was convinced that he needed to remain holy, that he needed to remain pure, and that he needed to be an above reproach example to everyone around him. And because of that, when the opportunity presented itself, he did the right thing. I talked about this in Jersey a little bit, but I used to think that I had conviction about being sexually pure. Like, I became a disciple when I was 14. I was in high school, and I was like, yeah, you know, I have strong conviction that I will not sleep with a woman unless she's my wife. It wasn't conviction. What it was that I hadn't had an opportunity yet. That's all it was. The first time, the very first time, an opportunity was like, boom, hey, I had sex. First opportunity in my life. It wasn't conviction. It was convenience. It was very convenient for me to hold on to these beliefs that my church had when I wasn't in an environment where that was going to be there. But the moment it was presented as a chance, I was done. What are you convinced of? What is an absolute, I will not touch that thing. I will not even entertain that thought. Because if we don't rewire our brains, gentlemen, to be, I am convinced that this is a standard of life that God wants me to live by, I promise you, just wait for the opportunity, and then you're gone. You're gone. And it's not because there's anything wrong with you, not because anything, but it's just because you've set yourself up for that. That's it. It's not about convenience, guys. It really, really is about conviction. You must be convinced. Now, where do you get that from? So my wife's doing this class upstairs, and she's the passage she's using is when Jesus gets tempted by Satan. And that's like, that's the perfect example of what conviction is, where Satan is like, hey, dude, like, turn the, you're God, you know, in flesh, right? Just make the rocks bread. And which sounds like, you know, you've got a point. Like, I am God incarnate. I'm really hungry right now. I do have the power to do this. But Jesus was convinced that man cannot live on bread alone. So he doesn't do it. And then he says, well, yeah, hey, just jump off the cliff, man. Like, don't you have like angels just like on your side? Won't they? And Jesus says, you know what? I am convinced that I'm not supposed to put the Lord my God to the test. And then they just bow down and worship me. And he's like, bro, no. And every single response that Jesus had was God's thought process. It was book, chapter, verse. It was this is how God thinks about this. So that's what I'm gonna convince myself that that's the truth. I've noticed a concerning lack of Bible literacy amongst men in the college age period. If you are not familiar with what God says through his Bible, it's going to be very hard to gain actual conviction about something and not just rely on church culture. Church culture is not conviction. Listen, I don't care what your region does for this, and that. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's supposed to be God's word that we're living by, right? That's what we signed up for. Like, I'm gonna live a life according to the instruction that God has placed for me. We cannot rely on your campus ministry's culture about things. If your conviction about smoking is based on the conduct of the people around you, and your campus minister decides to smoke, well, you're probably gonna end up smoking too. And that's not conviction, that's convenience. If the culture of your campus ministry is one where people are disrespectful to the sisters, and you step in there, and now you're with no conviction of the way that we're supposed to conduct ourselves around these the daughters of God, it's just this group right here needs to be the group that just thinks the way that God wants us to think about stuff and then behave accordingly. And that's all this is. And if we can get this I am convinced that this is the way God wants me to behave based on what the Bible teaches. Not based on any sermon, not based on any preacher, not based on any class, just based on the Word of God. This is how God wants me to live. Then we change. Then everything changes. And I think there are times that I think we need to kind of like tone down our pride a little bit, because we want to be individuals. You know, don't tell me who I should be or what not to be. That is the question. We start quoting like Shakespeare stuff.
Come on, man.
It's extremely powerful. It's extremely noble. It's extremely heroic to be a man of conviction. Mm. Let me tell you something, man. Because if your intention is to be with a woman that is going to help you get to heaven, that woman is not going to want some knucklehead, no, like whack convictions scrub that just comes to church and says they're a disciple. If you want to settle for someone that's like, oh, well, okay, sure, why not? Yeah, maybe. I mean, I hope she was ahead of me. Then by all means, continue to live weak conviction lives. But if you're looking for a life of fulfillment, a life of genuinely understanding who God is, and if you decide to be with someone that can help you live a life that is just like, I'm loving every minute of this, and then we're going to get to heaven together. Guys, we need to kind of put our foot down here, right? What have you convinced yourself is okay? And if it's not God's standard, let's rewire this.
Come on, man.
Just switch it up. That's literally what repentance is, by definition. It's a rewiring of how you think about it. It's a recalibration of the way you think about it. We just have to recalibrate this to be God's will. And that's it. And the reason why I think like this class is so important is because your conviction is going to trigger all the other stuff you're going to learn this weekend. If you have weak conviction about the Word of God, period, and you don't look at the Bible, I mean, you may acknowledge, sure, that this is God's Word, but you don't look at this as God's instruction for your life specifically, who cares what the lesson is on? Because you're not convinced this is God talking to you. If you're not convinced that when the body meets together like this, it's a time of edification and encouraging one another, then what you do is you kind of sit in the back and do your own thing, which then completely like eliminates the whole point of why we're even meeting here. Guys, everything changes when our convictions change. And what I want to do for a little bit is let's just talk. At this point, I'll maybe facilitate some of this, but I just want to talk about what are some areas you feel like your conviction may need clarity. Like, maybe you've had a question about what does the Bible say about this. We're not going to turn this into like a theological debate about whatever. Just stuff that I think guys should know, guys should do. If you have questions about alcohol and drunkenness, if you have concerns about personal conduct around the women.